Well, good afternoon, ladies. Many of you I know, but I will introduce myself. My name is Angie Stinchcomb, and I'm a member, along with my husband, of Calvary Chapel La Mirada. And I've been asked to share this afternoon a little bit about what the Lord has done in my life. And so we're going to go ahead and get started. And I'm going to do something that God put on my heart, and it's not a dramatic thing, but it's truly where my heart is right now. So we're going to start out in prayer. Okay? Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you, and I just petition you in behalf of each and every lady that's here, Lord God. And Father, I do ask that every word that goes forth today, Lord God, would be one that would minister to them. And Father, that their eyes would be on you, Lord God, and that there would be nothing of me. And I pray that you would give me also a courage and just a confidence in you, Father, that you would keep me strong. And Lord, that I would be a good witness for you and for the things that you've done in my life.
Yes.
May it be used to be a blessing, Lord, to those that are hearing today. Your word, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
When I started to prepare for this message, the song came to my mind, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher." It made me think about the theme verse that we have, "Come up higher, my beloved," and, you know, that the whole idea that God is the one that lifts us up, but there's really no lifting up unless we're willing to come down. He's the only one that is to be lifted up. And he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So today I want to share a little bit about this topic of bondage to freedom. And I have had several encounters with bondages of different types in my life. And you have to understand, I'm not a young person anymore in my heart. And with the Lord, yes, you know, because with him, 1,000 days is just one day. So, okay, I'm young, but I'm an older person, and I actually really made a commitment to give my life, or it's not mine anyway, it was his life all along, back to him 11 years ago. And I'm going to be 64 years old, so you know that I've been through quite a bit, just trying to struggle through this life on my own. But you know, the Lord was always with me. He never abandons us, even if we turn our back on him. So I want to get started by first just sharing one small little thing, and that is that about 5 or 6 years ago, I was in the choir in La Mirada. How many of you remember me and Richard being in the choir? You remember that? Okay. Well, you know, there was just something. I have to tell you that was one of the most awesome ministries to touch my life. You don't think very much of it. You know, it's great, it's wonderful, and it just encourages the congregation. But being in the choir, I learned so very much, and the Lord used that ministry to touch my heart. And one day, as we were singing a song about surrender, I can't remember the exact song right now, but it's something like, "I Surrender All." But we were all worshiping, and my eyes were closed, and I was just imagining in my mind this picture of myself kneeling in front of a large rectangular altar. And I actually was naked. I had no clothes on. And I mean, it was kind of a weird little thing that went through my mind while I'm worshiping up there. But there I was on my knees, and I was bowed down, something like when I said this prayer. And, you know, it was, "I surrender all." And so I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm giving you all." So I took my heart, And I put it on this altar, and you know, it looked like a heart. You know, it was like a heart like that. And I put it on the altar, and I took my home, which I love my home, and I put it on the altar. And I took our finances and the money that we had accumulated through all the years of hard work and everything, and I put that on the altar. And some friendships and associations that were very dear to me, I put those on the altar. And I had put all these things on the altar. I felt pretty good about myself. And then I heard this little voice inside. I'm still singing. I'm still singing, and this little voice said, well, what about that? And I said, well, what about what? And, you know, it was, well, what about all that stuff in the past? Those things that you did. What about this and that? And, you know, I said, well, you know, I've been forgiven. I know I've been forgiven. And, yeah, there was not a doubt. I didn't feel any condemnation, but it was like, why aren't you putting all of those things on the altar? And I said, well, what good will it do? What's the good in it? Now I'm like having dialogue, arguing, you know? And it's like, never mind, they're mine. They're not yours anymore. They're mine. And so I said, well, if I give them to you, what will you do with them? You know? And we kind of just like left that conversation there. And because God is very gentle. But what he was doing was reminding me that even though I had confessed him as Lord and Savior, even though I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that all my sins had been forgiven, that they've been cast into the sea, you know, at depths that are so great that, you know, he forgot them. You know, I'm supposed to forget them. But obviously, I was having a hard time forgetting some of these things. So he was saying, give them to me. You must really love them because you're holding on to them. So give them to me. And it just absolutely broke me down that day. And I started weeping there during the service. And I was weeping out loud because what I felt in my heart was that God's love for me was so very great that what he wanted were all of those things that had hurt me, that had caused me to be separated from him. All of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the stupid mistakes that I'd made in my life, he said, I want those. And I really and truly was so frightened and so afraid. But I was still touched by that knowledge that he loved me so much that he wanted those things. So before I get into a little detail here and we look at bondage, I want to start out with worship. There's a one testimony here. This is the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and I think that it will kind of describe my heart what God wants to do with our testimonies and how he's taken us from bondage to freedom.
Took me from a place that I never thought I'd find my way out of, being hooked on drugs, hooked on crack cocaine, never ever imagined that I would ever escape from that. I really would have rather died to even think of getting free from it. But God is faithful. I thank God for what he's done. He's set me free from that. I don't have to do that anymore. I slept in abandoned buildings. I smoked crack in backyards and on rooftops, in train stations. Wherever I could smoke it, I smoked it. having a family, leaving my family, abandoning them, and just doing what was pleasing me. But I was being blind by the crack, and crack was my God, and I served it well. But today I can tell you I'm serving Christ Jesus, and he's well. It is well with him. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you today that Jesus Christ is able to set you free. The Bible says he saves you completely. And I know that I'm completely saved. I'm completely delivered from crack. God has given me everything that the enemy stole from me. He's given me my wife back. He's given me my children back. He's given me jobs back. He's given me two children that I prayed for. And I'm rejoicing today because God is good. He's washed me. He's cleansed me. He's set me free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hoping that you all will get an idea about what the celebration that we have as we recognize what God has done for us. And I'm thankful that that song has encouraged me so very, very much to know that God can take someone who has really had a difficult life and hurt many people, obviously, and as he said, and turn it around and restore 100%, and then use them in the service of God. So I want to start now by just taking a look and referencing this little book that's been spoken of, this Hind Speed in High Places. And there we are watching Much Afraid, and there's things that we're seeing in her spiritual journey that starts out, first of all, with a decision to leave that valley of humiliation. And then we see as she travels on how she overcomes as she passes through many dangers. And one of the first things that happens is she receives a seed of love from the shepherd before they even start out on this journey. And it came to my heart that when we give our lives to the Lord, we receive a seed of love. And that is His Holy Spirit. That's Him, Himself coming to live in our heart. And she has points along the way where she is changed because her life is touched. God has shown her through lessons and through His own revelation things about herself that she believed that were untrue, and then He's corrected them and given her the truth. And so she finally reaches the high places, and she's given a new name, and she's a new person. And now at that point in time, after she had learned these things, then the shepherd says, let's go back to the valley and let's consider those that are still there. So I believe that this little book is meant to be an encouragement to us, and hopefully that each person will go back and take a look at the things that God has done for them, and remember that we all have testimonies, and those testimonies are of God's grace, of His love, and He wants that to be taken back to those that yet have to experience that and that are still in bondages of different kinds. And so I looked at the Psalm 18:33. You can turn there if you want to in your Bibles. And I think it's good for us to remember that what Hind Speed and High Places really is about. It's not so much, you know, about deers or birds or anything like that, even though, you know, we draw upon these things to help us.
Psalm
18 and verse 33. Does somebody have that?
Yeah.
Would you read it?
He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, leading me safely along the mountain heights.
Okay. Let's start with verse 30. Start with verse 30.
And up to what verse?
Just to 33.
Okay. As for God, His way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? But who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength. He has made my way safe. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, leading me safely along the mountain heights.
You know, what David is doing here is he's looking back over his life. And if we remember some of the things in David's life, they weren't all great. You know, he had some tough experiences that he had to go through. He made some wrong decisions. But he also faced giants. And, you know, God had given him a confidence that came, that was in the Lord. And then as time went on, he made some mistakes, but still he's standing. And he's taking a look and he's saying, you know, God, You were faithful through all of that. And whenever You delivered me from anything, it was not because of me. Even though it appeared that way on the outside, it appeared that way to people, that it was the person, David, King David. But it wasn't. It was actually the Lord, and He was giving him the glory for that. That he was able to do great and mighty deeds in the face of his enemies. And that it was the Lord that gave the victory. And God has given us victory. We have victory over sin, just as you heard in Calvin's testimony here. And the root of all bondage is sin. I mean, we can talk about different types of bondages, but when you get right down to it, you'll find out that underlying all of that, there is sin. And God's given us victory over that, and He's changed us permanently, those of us that have received Him by His grace. He puts Himself, He plants Himself in our heart, and He goes with us each step of the way, and He promises us sure footing, just as we heard, as we go through life, in all stages of life, and in every life. That's, you know, that's, no one is excluded from that. He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:16. He's the key to freedom from our prison cells, and without Him, we're all destined to live lives in fear and bondage, wishing we could escape and trying to escape in ways that will never work, but never leaving that thing that has a hold on us, keeping us in bondage. He's the only one that can set us free, regardless of how many systems, how many methods, how many self-help programs are out there. God is the only one that can set us free. I was born in bondage. Does that surprise you? Shouldn't surprise you?
No.
Because you were too. All of us were born in bondage. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. We're born with a sinful nature. And sometimes some of us want to think that we're better than others. That's a temptation from the devil, because there's no one better than another. Okay, we're all God's creation, considered wonderful in His eyes. We're making our way through in this journey. We're passing through. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, you can go there if you like. I'm following Wendy's lead. She says it's the Word itself, so I know you hear it, but if maybe if you look at it, it'll really jump out at you.
2 Peter
chapter 2 and verse 19. Kathy, would you read it?
Oh, sure.
While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage.
Yes. So, and in the NIV, I think it says, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. So if we find ourselves under the control of anything other than God, we're slaves to it, and it is our master. Now, is bondage good for us?
No.
Is it the will of God?
No.
No and no. That's right. It's not God's will that we be in bondage. And if it's not good for us, and if it's not of God, then what can we call it?
Sin.
We can call it evil, right? We can call it sin. We can call it evil. You know, what God wants for our lives is to live beautiful, productive, happy, and peaceful lives. Now, I don't mean that we won't have to encounter suffering or pain along the way, but that's not taking away from the fact that that's not His plan, that we should be, you know, you can be happy and in pain. You can be filled with joy and in pain. You know, the difference is who is the boss? Who is the master? And so anyway, but I just want to clarify that it's not God's will if you're in bondage, okay? And He does not set people up to fail. You know, to be in bondage is to be under the rulership of a hard taskmaster against our will and held captive with no means of escape. I'll tell you, and I'm sure that you already know these things anyway, but we can't escape. on our own. We might think we can try to do things, we can try to change our lives, but we can't. We have no power to do that. Jesus is our bondage breaker. Praise God for that. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, have you got it? Okay. Could you read it?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives, that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come.
He is Jesus is now proclaiming that He has come. His ministry is starting, and He has been ordained to fulfill the promise in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, to bring liberty to the captives. And in the NIV, it's the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. We can be in bondage to a variety of oppressors. You hear about them every day in the news, and they are all related to sin. Over what areas have you ever struggled in your life? Drugs or alcohol, eating disorders, sexual issues, self-dependence, misplaced ambition, distractions, or other giants that you've had to face? Are you ready to break free? Before we can receive freedom, we must come to accept the truth about our bondage and choose to be released and come as we are. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid, the shepherd tells Much Afraid. Build me another altar and lay down your whole will as a burnt offering. Nothing less than surrendering our will do. In Psalm 102, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Don't hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly." Our little heroine, Much Afraid, she had to come to a place of decision too, and it started out with just one little wish. Oh, if I could only escape from the valley of humiliation and go to the high places. It was just a little wish. And that's all that's needed, because the shepherd answered immediately. He didn't promise her that things would be easy, but he promised that she would be changed. I found myself in a place where I wanted to be changed, but I had no power to do it myself. I suffered under the bondage of alcoholism. And many of you know me, but you may not know that 21 years ago I was delivered from the addiction of alcohol. Alcohol is only a symptom of deeper problems. But because there's so much havoc in the life of an alcoholic, the bondages, the real bondages, the things that have created that dependence on something else, they're not really dealt with. You see, I wanted to escape from the valley of humiliation, like Much Afraid. But I was much more afraid. I had another name with more hyphens in there. Much more afraid. And so I came up with another way to cope with the tormenting thoughts of unworthiness, the need to prove myself, and fear of failure. And I found that I could handle the stresses of this world through alcohol. But later I knew that I could no longer control my drinking, but that it had control over me. In my case, this bondage that I had really ended up helping me, because it was a part of my journey that led me to be drawn closer to the Lord, to humble myself before Him. Because in my true heart of hearts, I wanted to be set free. Even though I was still under this bondage, I would cry out to God to set me free. Well, you know the Lord hears those cries. And even though it didn't appear like anything was happening on the outside, things were happening on the inside. And God took those cries, and I guess, at some point in time, He finally started bringing little events into my life that brought me to a place where I had to deal with it. Unfortunately, it was a painful experience. I was in automobile accidents. I was in a very, very bad accident in 1983. And that was 7 years before I finally went through my recovery. But in 1983, I was in an automobile accident alone. Thanks be to God that no one else was hurt except for myself. But my my right ankle was totally crushed, and I had to go through almost a year's worth of rehabilitation. My teeth were all knocked out of my mouth. My head was busted open because I didn't have on a seat belt. At that time, they didn't. I don't believe it was a law then. That's how far back that goes. But my car was totally totaled, and I was a real mess. But when I got out, I started drinking again, and I thought I would have a glass of wine or a glass of port or something that was much more sophisticated than scotch. But never fear. If you're an alcoholic, you can't drink, So, but it took 7 more years and another automobile accident where I was totally, completely humiliated. I was arrested. My car had gone over an embankment on the freeway, and there was a 45 feet drop down to a concrete, and my car was stopped, wedged between some trees, and my life was spared. And you know what? At that time, I had started to seek God, and I had already started, just investigating some things. And I know that God said, "Okay, this is the time, and you're I'm going to have to hit you with a 2x4 to get this through." But anyway, it was the most humiliating experience in my entire life. I was handcuffed and taken to the Vista County Jail, and I had to call my husband. And so Richard came, and he picked me up, and he held his arm out there, and I put my arm in his, and he took me on home. And I want to tell you that I am so blessed to have a man that stood by me all of those years. And he endured hell for me, loving me, praying for me, crying out to God for me. And what else could you ask for than to have someone that God put in your life that would stand by you when you look the absolute worst that you could ever look? And he supported me through all of that, and he supported me through my recovery as well. And my recovery involved going to AA meetings, and I would have to go in there, and I'd have to say, "Angie, alcoholic." And that just absolutely tore me up, but I got to the point where I could say it. You know what? Richard would come to meet with me sometimes to these meetings because I was afraid to go. And he would say, I'm Richard, and I'm an alcoholic. And you know what? He was not an alcoholic. You know? And you know, I would just tell him afterwards, why did you say that? But he loved me. And he wanted me to know that I was not alone, that whatever my problem was his problem. Wow. And you know what? That's what Jesus does. And I give God thanks that I have a husband that emulates for me Christ. And I thank God for that. And he did it without me pushing him or anything. I don't deserve the kind of man that I have, I tell you. But because he loves me so much, I can't help but just love him so very, very much. And so I'm blessed with that. So if any of you have got husbands or wives and they're standing beside you or they need you to stand beside them, please do that because they will see Jesus. You will be Jesus to them. Just as, you know, that was a reflection to me of God's love and his care. Now, set free from the bondage of alcoholism, I don't need to go into a lot of detail about the type of alcoholic I was. You know, I want to justify it and say I wasn't that bad of an alcoholic. You know, but it was bad. You know, but we want to look good in front of other people, don't we?
Yes.
You know, I love all of you. And I love all of the people in our church and my family and stuff like that. I don't want to look bad in front of you guys, you know. But God has given me the strength to be able just to share the truth about, you know, what my journey has been. Well, as I began to seek God, because, you know, I went through the 12-step program. I had to write out some things, and I had to admit that I was powerless, and you know that I surrendered my will. The third step is to surrender your will to this power that had control over your life. And I can't remember the exact wording, although I did bring. I can share that with you. I have this here. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. That's step three. Well, as I was doing that and as I was going to these meetings and everything, I got, you know, more and more into this higher power thing. And so I started studying, and I was drawn to God, to know him in a way that was different from what I had experienced in the past. And I'll just share with you, I was born into the Catholic Church. I was baptized a Catholic, and I went to Catholic school. I graduated from Catholic high school, and I learned a lot of wonderful things from my teachers and things like that. But I never learned that God truly accepted me as I was. I was constantly in trouble, always making mistakes, and I had to confess these things in confessionals and things like that. And so my experience, you know, even though I prayed and even though I knew who Jesus was and I knew who God was, I really did not have that relationship that I have today with Jesus Christ. And so it was not a good experience for me because I was constantly guilt-ridden, and I just felt like I could never, ever meet God's requirements, his expectations of me. And so I kind of drifted off into a nothing for a long time, and then when this happened, I just started seeking God the best way I could, and some friends of mine were involved in in New Age and in all kinds of Far Eastern religions and stuff like that. And so I started reading about those things, and that's another bondage. And so I got involved with that and started meditating and doing yoga and, you know, reading about how it is that through my own strength I would be able to reach God. You know, I could get there if I was good enough. And so I just, you know, kept trying to believing in reincarnation. You know, that, you know, this life, you know, when I die, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be something else. And I really got into this really heavy. And I read hundreds of books on every kind of cult and religion that there was. And I tried to make sense out of all of that and kind of made a big mishmash out of it. And I thought that I really knew something. I thought I was like, you know, like we read about in the Bible today about those Gnostic teachers that thought they had some secret knowledge. Well, I thought I just puffed myself right on up there. And I thought, well, you know what? I've been through a lot, but now I know the truth, you know. And so I got myself drawn into another bondage. And it was absolutely futile, because every time that I was, you know, tested, and we're always tested, right, to see where our heart really is. Every time I was tested, I would just fall on my face. You know, I would get angry, or I would, you know, I'd do something stupid, or I would harbor anger or resentment in my heart. And so I kept beating myself up for it, too, because I'd say, you know, after all this time and everything that you've learned, you should know better by now. But I didn't. And so I was empty, and all of that time and energy that I put in was for nothing. And finally, by the grace of God, because my heart was still seeking God. I mean, I really genuinely was saying, I want to know the truth, and I want to know this God. You know, I want to know how I fit into this universe. And you know, I was laid off of my job in 1998, and at that time I decided I was going to try to stay home from work, and I listened to Christian radio and Christian TV. Even while I was going to work, I started to amalgamate, you know, I'd listen to Charles Stanley, and I didn't know these guys, you know, I'd listen to Charles Stanley and Chuck Smith and some of those guys, you know, I just kind of put it all in there with everything else. But when I was off from work, that was when God really had a chance to show me some things and to touch me. And I listened to Christian radio and Christian TV a lot. And I received an invitation from one of the pastors on TBN, actually, that I had listened to, and I had sent off for some tapes. And he sent me an invitation in the mail. There was a little church in Brea that was going to be meeting on September the 8th, and I went there that night, and Richard went with me. And I had been in all kinds of things prior to that, you know, and so I don't know what Richard was thinking, but he went along with me. And we went in there, and that night, he's a saint. That night they gave the altar call, and I felt such a pounding in my heart, and I felt like I had little blinders on, just like a little horse. And it was like, you know, how long are you going to stay on the fence? And I found the other day in the Bible, there is a scripture that actually asks that very same question. You're not in and you're not out. And so in my heart, I said, I'm going. And I got up out of my chair, and I walked forward to the altar. And there was about four or five men that night and myself. And I surrendered my life to the Lord. And that was on September the 8th, 1999. And my life has not been the same since. And I... I could, as I, you know, as I had put so much time and energy in seeking things, trying to find truth, after I came to the Lord, I continued to ask, God, please show me your truth, that I could come to know you. Because think about it, all of this time, even as I was raised as a Catholic and everything, I never really read the Word of God. We didn't use Bibles. We used catechisms, and we had Bibles at home, but there was just nothing that, you know, that really ministered to us in that way. And so after I came to know the Lord, I know that Jesus, he tells us, you know, that if we hold fast to his teaching, then we are really his disciples, and then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And there's no other way to know the truth except for just to get into the Bible and to really come to understand. And I figured that I didn't have that much time. You know, I was already so late in my life. And that's one of the reasons why I signed up for Bible ministry school. And the Lord had actually called me to go to Bible ministry school earlier than what I really did. I tried to do it correspondence, and I failed because it was just too... I needed to have the structure. I needed to have that, you know, be there and do this. And so... That's why I'm there now. It's not because I want to try to be somebody or anything. It's just that I know the lies. And I don't want to be deceived any longer by things that are out there. And if you don't know the Word of God, you can be very, very easily deceived. It's very subtle. So that's why I'm there. I want to just share some thoughts with you that God put on my heart. Many times in the past, I've tried to reason myself through things, but the choices I made were always in the wrong direction, and I found that I cannot trust myself. I have to seek God's will, or I have to suffer the consequences. In the Bible, there are numerous examples when God's people would do something without seeking him first, including King David. And it always yielded disaster or God's second best. And so when I just want to encourage you of that, not to depend upon yourself, but in the smallest of things, consult the Lord. And, you know, there's a couple of times that I've still slipped back into that it's really pride to think that you know anything. And I just want to encourage you that God has good things in store for all of us. So even in the smallest of decisions that you have to make, call upon the Lord. And when we call upon him, we must believe and not doubt. That's in James chapter 1 and verse 6. And God will guide you every time. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." God never abandons us in our bondage. Though we are slaves, our God has not deserted us in our bondage. That was in Ezra's intercessory prayer in chapter 9 and verse 9. So now I want to just come towards a closing here and ask, you know, the questions. Why is it that God saves us? Why does he save you and me? And there's a song that we sang in the choir. You guys remember that song? Why did he save you? He saved us to show his glory. Why did he save me? So I could be a soul set free, set apart to declare his glorious praise, chosen to radiate his glory and his grace. But, you know, that's what we're chosen to do. He set us free. You heard Calvin singing about his bondage and how God set him free too. But, you know, before we can be a light to the world, we have to be made clean, just like he said. And recently I did a little study on Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And, you know, Peter really didn't understand what the Lord was doing. And Jesus had stripped himself of his garments and, you know, went over and humbled himself to his disciples to wash their feet. And when he came to Peter, he didn't want the Lord to wash his feet. And I've read over that so many times, but, you know, I finally, through this study, came to realize that Peter really didn't understand himself. He really didn't know what was ahead, but Jesus already knew what was ahead. Jesus knew that within hours, Peter was going to betray him. Peter didn't know that. And the thing was, is that Jesus said, you know, unless I wash you, you will have no part of me. So unless we're willing, it's a humbling thing, too, to let the Lord wash our feet. Unless we're willing to let him minister to us. We've always seen that scripture as a demonstration of how we are to serve others. And it is. Jesus set us that example. But it's also that we need to be able to allow the Lord to minister to us, to clean us up. Because you know what? Peter didn't know what was ahead of him, and you and I don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what we're going to have to face and where we'll be. And so God says, you know, that he knows what's best, and unless we submit ourselves to his cleansing power, we can have no part of him. So we've got to acknowledge our failures and not try to cover them up. Jesus wants to wash our feet. In Psalm 32, verse 5, David confesses, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Jesus calls us to be his witnesses to this world by the power of his Spirit. He told Peter, after he was restored, to go strengthen your brothers. That's what we're called to do. You don't have to have a special calling to do that. You don't have to accomplish something in the hierarchy of the church or anything like that. We're all called, once we have been set free, to go back and to strengthen our brothers. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, maybe you guys would just take the time to read that this tonight sometime or later, like when we leave here now. Just take this, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. It's a story of a demon-possessed man who was healed. And he had been chained up, you know, hand and foot. And when Jesus set him free, he begged Jesus to go with him. He wanted to go with the Lord. But Jesus told him to go home to his family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. The Lord's mercy. Tell the world about God's goodness, what he has done for you. We're all testimonies because we're still alive. We're still here. There's still work to be done. Amen. The Lord calls us and he says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. That's Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Father, for this time that you've given today, Lord God. I know that you have done a work in all of our hearts. You are the bondage breaker, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would just minister to the hearts of all of these, those that have struggles that they're going through right now, those that are have been down this path themselves, Lord God, that they would remember that these things do not belong to them, but they belong to you, And you can do whatever you want with our past. And I pray and ask God that there would, that people would just be reinforced today with courage to go, even go home and tell our families about the goodness of God and what He has done for us. And I praise You and I bless You and I give You thanks for Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that You will use all things for good for those who have been called according to Your purpose. And I pray and ask that You would touch each and every heart that's here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.